Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
As Christians, our destiny is to live in heaven with Jesus forever. However, while we are here on earth, we have an assignment from our Master to be His ambassadors to a lost and dying world. This means, among other things, putting the needs of others ahead of our own as we preach the gospel to those around us. We must realize that what we do now will matter in eternity. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 2 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 13 through 17.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless His holy.
Jesus is the standard that we are called to follow. Not Peter, not Paul. They would both say, Peter implying it, Paul definitely saying it, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's not forget that the head of the church, the master, our example is Jesus. And these words of Jesus, to follow me, with those words, Jesus was calling Levi to change whatever he had heard and believed about God. He was calling him to adopt a kingdom of God worldview that would shake and alter every vital area of his life. And how would that happen? In a classroom? With a chalkboard? With Jesus circling? This means this in the Hebrew, and this means this in the Greek? All of these changes would take place in the day-by-day context of spending time with Jesus and then learning to model his life after him. And that's how you and I are changed too, beloved, isn't it? It's by spending time with Jesus. It's by culting that moment-by-moment awareness of His presence. We talk about Jesus. We're talking about the incarnation, the expression of the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. And Christ's earthly life, which is the express image of God in bodily form, is our example. He said to us today, follow me. So Levi forsakes all, follows him. It came to pass, verse 15, that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, Luke says that Levi made him a great feast, and look who he invites. Many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. What a group he's got following him. He sat at meat, sitting at the table. To sit at meat in those days meant you identified with them. It was an expression of friendship. In that culture, when you had a meal with someone, you were saying, I accept you. I identify with you. To eat from the same loaf of bread was to join yourself to the persons that you were eating with. And so the scribes and the Pharisees that were going to meet were blown away when they saw what Jesus was doing and who he was hanging around with. It says in verse 16, when the scribes and the Pharisees, they were the ultra-religious theologians of the day. Sad to say, when they saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it, or why does he eat with and drink with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, those that are whole, the implication is those who think that they've got it all together. Those that think that they're strong. Those that think that they're right with God. They don't have any need of a physician. But they that are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The self-righteous. Matthew adds here, but go and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Repentance. Why did Jesus eat and drink with sinners? Because they were spiritually ill. And they were in need of the mercy and grace of God. They did not need a list of unbiblical man-made rules and meaningless sacrifices that were void of heart-changing power. The greatest need and only hope of every sinner is a personal encounter with the great physician, Jesus Christ, who is abundant in mercy and grace. You see, the one person for whom Jesus can do nothing is the self-sufficient person who thinks himself or herself to be so together and so good that they don't need anything done for them. But likewise, the one person for whom Jesus can do everything is the person who is a sinner and knows it and longs in his heart for a cure. Can you imagine a hospital with a mission statement? We're here for the healthy. If you're sick, stay away. Sad to say, that's the attitude you get from many churches. Let's never forget our heavenly assignment. Let's get it correct, beloved. The church exists to carry out the will of the Father who sent his Son, the great physician, to help the hurting, to minister to the messed up, to heal the sick, and to love the unlovely. That's our mission. And we do that by proclaiming the good news of forgiveness of sin and a personal relationship with the Father by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is much more than facts that are to be believed. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a life that is to be lived. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message that is to be lived. It's the power of God unto salvation. And when the power of God contained in the words, "It is finished," and "He is risen," enter into the heart of a fallen man or that woman will never be the same. Because the result will be a radically transformed life that will have a holy impact on others and make a difference in the world that they live in. And when the church has lost its self-denying, first love, Christ-centered and other-centered purpose for existence, it will become a religious social club that will turn the Sunday morning service into nothing more than a feel-good sing-along that precedes a tell-me-what-I-want-to-hear message that is nothing more than a gospel production that the Bible calls a form of godliness with no power. When a person or a church turns the gospel of Jesus Christ into an emotional or feel-good experience service instead of a daily, passionate, hunger and thirsty encounter of sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they are essentially turning Jesus into another form of entertainment instead of the bread of life. Jesus says in verse 17, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, I'm not here to tell you what Bible to read, but if you read the ESV or the ASV or the NIV or the NLT or the BLT, oh, that's bacon, lettuce, and tomato. All of those translations omit the words "to repentance." And I mention that omission because there are many people who will use the same account of Jesus eating with publicans and sinners and calling them to repentance as justification for hanging on to their old life and their old way of living, and they claim to have had a new birth, but they have no hunger or thirst for the things of God. Now, let me be very clear about something. I believe that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we, like Jesus, should love those who have yet to come to Christ. We should love them. We should have compassion on them, a compassion and a love that comes from a heart and brings glory to the Father. I'm glad that I have, after 40-something years, unsaved friends that I love. I can enjoy having dinner with them. I can enjoy having conversation with them about family and life. But here's the change. I can no longer participate in the sinful things of the old life with them because there is no fellowship with light and darkness. When I think of repentance, the words of Jesus that I think are some of the most chilling words in the Bible is when he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you who work iniquity." They were spoken to people who prophesied, who did many wonderful works, who cast out devils, but evidently they never repented. The first words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark are as the time was fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The last words of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke are, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And what is repentance? Well, repentance is a change. It's a turn, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth. It's a turn from sin. It's a turn to God. It's a turn. It's a real turn. It's a change. In Acts 14, verse 15, we read, sirs, why do ye these things? We also of men, there were people that were bowing down before Paul and Barnabas and began to worship them and kiss the ring. Anybody that is born again knows you don't kiss my ring. I am thinking of somebody right now. It says, we also are men of like passions with you. Wow, I thought I was the only one. And preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. And these were people that had a belief in a God, but it wasn't the true and living God. Notice the evidence of repentance that Paul records in the saints at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, it says, they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. And Paul would go on to say, this same group of people were sharing the gospel everywhere that they went, and they were living in eager anticipation of Christ's return. You see, this turning from sin unto God is a conversion from death into life. Acts 11:18. It says, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Which means that until a person repents, they don't have life. Repentance is not simply a change of mind, like positive thoughts. Repentance is much more than even going to church. Repentance is much more than having a changed life. There are numerous life or religious experiences that can change a person's life that have nothing to do with the new birth. Repentance is turning from a life of sin and self-centeredness to a life of intimacy with Jesus Christ that sets into motion a life of God-glorifying, selfless service of others. Repentance is the ongoing process of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. And this takes place as my mind is being renewed with the Word of God. And then my actions and attitudes are being changed by the Spirit of God who dwells within me. It's a change. It's a new birth. Haters become lovers. Gossips become prayer warriors. Bitter people become forgivers. Harsh people become kind. Angry people become gentle. Lazy people become hard workers. Complainers become contributors. Actors become factors. Selfish people become unselfish. Takers become givers. Drunkards become sober. Addicts become clean. Prostitutes and those that are addicted to pornography are made holy. The self-sufficient become self-dependent people become dependent on God. Amen. It's a change. Paul put it this way in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's repentance. Christ lives in me. Biblical repentance is a deep remorse over my sin and the realization of the devastating effects of sin in the world that gives birth to a transformation of my worldview and my purpose in life. Why am I here now? God redeemed you and me for a purpose. Repentance is a daily, an hourly, and moment-by-moment decision to live my life from God's perspective and not mine. It's a decision to live my life for His will and not mine. It's a decision to live my life for His glory and not mine. It's a change. It's a decision to put on the mind of Christ. And when Philippians talks about putting on the mind of Christ, it's putting on the mind of a servant. You see, I'm going to semi-rant here for a minute. Because I do have some concern about the church. I love the church. When I talk about the church, I'm talking about the body. I love the church. But I have some serious concerns. Especially when I hook up YouTube videos and now they're talking about, let's reinvent church. What? You know what that's saying? Let's reinvent the gospel. The vast majority of church people today are non-involved spectators who are asking what the church can provide for them instead of being active participants asking, what can I do to help to provide for others? And this what's in it for me mentality and apathy towards the needs and hurts of others is not the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how Spirit-filled church people, alleged Spirit-filled church people, think they are until they are confronted with the need to get outside of themselves and their own comfort zones and to minister to those who are hurting and needy. I say that about myself. Never ceases to amaze me how Spirit-filled I think I am until I get around people. Remember this, beloved. The Holy Spirit dwells in you and in me for my sake, to convict me, to comfort me, to direct me, to encourage me. But the Holy Spirit comes upon me for your sake. He dwells within me for my sake, but he comes upon me for your sake. And the Holy Spirit has been placed within you and in me in order that the life and love of Jesus might be expressed through you and me. You see, repentance is a stepping out of the self-seeking kingdom of darkness and despair and stepping into the life of Christ and others-centered kingdom of light. It's a turning from a self-centered life that is lived after the flesh to a Christ-centered life that is living after the Spirit. Did Jesus call sinners to a life of repentance and faith in him to save us from the eternal punishment and separation from God? Absolutely. Praise God for that. Amen? But heaven, don't confuse the two. Heaven is our destiny. We have been saved, and we are heaven-bound by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, to be with the Lord in heaven is our destiny, but to live for the Lord here on earth as it is in heaven is our assignment. In other words, we need to be thinking eternity. Because it might not seem to be that important what you do today now, but it will at the judgment seat of Christ. Right now counts forever. We are his body here on earth, and the heart of Jesus is that none perish but all come to repentance. That's the lost. But remember that Jesus spoke words of repentance to 5 out of 7 churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. So repentance is an ongoing way of life. It's not a bad word. That word repent means my Father loves me. Raymond, you're going in the wrong direction. You're doing the wrong thing. You're going to harm yourself. You're going to dishonor me. Turn around. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ are the seeds of revival. And you know what the biblical definition of a revival is? It's a God-glorifying, other-centered manifestation of a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. So many people are looking for experiences. I want to feel good. And there are emotions. There are sanctified emotions. Jonathan Edwards wrote about that, sanctified affections. You have them. If you don't have them, you're dead. But you can't live by them. The purpose of the scriptures is to point us to Christ that we might know him. We might know him. And if you're not jumping up and down in your quiet time, if you're not leaping out of your chair when you're reading the Word of God, if the tears are not flowing down your cheek when you're alone with the Lord, then don't fool yourself to think that you're going to get it in 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 2 hours of singing or 30 minutes of teaching anywhere. You understand what I'm saying? I feel so good. Well, how do you live out there after you feel so good? Right? I mean, when your feet hit the ground, how are you going to live? Don't get me wrong. I like to jump up and down every once in a while. I get excited. But when a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ takes place in a person's life, the fruit of the Spirit and the life of Jesus will be visible in and through that person. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. James 2 tells us that faith without action, faith without works is dead. There is evidence. You can tell a tree by its fruit. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, and you will bring forth fruit. God's will for your life and my life is that we will bring forth fruit, growth, increase, that he would be glorified. You see, it's not seeking the growth or the blessing or the fruit independent of Christ. That's ultimate selfishness. It's seeking him, knowing him, growing in him, with the overflow being him. What a Savior, what a God, what a physician, what a master. What happened to you? That's repentance. Remember, beloved, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not the greatest show on earth to be enjoyed. It's the greatest news in the universe that is to be lived out and shared. How many would like to see a revival? I mean, a biblical revival. Well, there's two kinds of a revival. There's an evangelistic revival, and then there's a revival of the church. You know what an evangelistic revival is? Jonah and Nineveh. Right? Wouldn't it be great for East Rochester to be converted? Amen. That the cats and the dogs and the birds and the mice and the squirrels and the mayor and everyone else in the village repents? But like Jonah, you know what you and I do? Many of us run away from that assignment. You know, when I was thinking about repentance this morning, here's how I was challenged. I don't know if this will challenge you. As I was just sitting with the Lord like you do, and the Lord challenges, says, Raymond, I want you to think about time. Now I want you to tell me the things that you have time for and the things that you do not have time for. He says, redeem the time. For what? For what? For him, for his glory. Revival in the church? Yeah, I'd love to see it. If you want to see revival in the church, draw a circle, put yourself in the middle of that circle, and ask the Spirit of God to change you. Because when the Spirit of God changes you and your heart, not only does your worldview and priorities in life change, here's what's amazing. Everyone else around me changes when God changes my heart. They're not as bad as I thought they were. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.